Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be talking about insects, the world of insects today with P.J. Leash, manager of the UW-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab. We'll talk pantry pests and other bug-related questions with him. And we'll do that in just a minute or two. But first, I want to welcome back Cheryl Gasser to the microphone, WPR's own. Thank you, Cheryl, for joining me.
Thanks, Larry. So glad to be here with you today.
Well, she's here to help me talk with you about the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. You know, you count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations, and we count on you to help keep those discussions on the air. And listener support, pretty important, Cheryl.
It really is. It is the largest piece of the funding that makes this show, the Larry Mueller Show, and all of the others that you enjoy possible. That's why your gift right now is so very important. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 23 new and returning members. I want to thank everybody for that. That's a great number. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match. I love these matches. This Woo-hoo! One's up to $4,500, and it's a generous match from current members, including a member in Madison. It means that they'll match every dollar you give up to $4,500.
I love these matches too, Larry. It's a real sense of community. And this is the members' way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You can double your support right now for the programs that you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Some people say they enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial free. And that means we depend on other sources of funding. We've got state, federal, we've got business sponsors, all are important. And of course, there's another source that's very important as well.
And that is why we're here today, Larry, because the largest piece of funding for WPR programs comes from you, from listeners just like you, just like me, just like Larry. It's our support all together that makes a difference. And it's the backbone of how things work here at Wisconsin Public Radio. When you give, you keep the quality, independent talk and information on the air. You make the Larry Mueller Show possible. So make your gift now in any amount. Get it doubled, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We always appreciate the fact that you are spending time with us at Wisconsin Public Radio. It means a lot. And maybe you found us by scanning the dial. Maybe a friend recommended the music or the news or the great talks or the weekend programs. You're still tuned in because you like what you hear.
You like bugs, you like gardens, you like travel, you know, you like knowing how to fix your home and your car. You love talking to Wisconsin authors for all of those reasons, for all of the reasons that you enjoy the Larry Mueller Show and Larry himself, of course, and Jill and Jane and Natalie, because you like what you hear. Help pay for your WPR listening. Choose the amount that you want. Maybe it's $100. Maybe it's $10 a month. Whatever amount is right for you. It's a great starting point. Become our next donor. Get your pledge doubled. You can do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Christine from Mount Horeb.
And I'm Naya from Mount Horeb.
I've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio since I started college here at the UW, and that was about 25 years ago.
I started listening to it pretty much at birth. It was on all the time at my house, and it's become a really integral part of my day.
WPR is such an important part of my life, and I realized I should become a member and donate just to make sure that WPR stays vibrant and has secure funding to continue on for myself and for my children as well.
Generations have grown up with us, and with your help now, many more can too. Go to WPR.org and click Donate.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And maybe your contribution is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
We sure do. And we make giving to Wisconsin Public Radio so easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to WPR. And those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And it's such a great time to make a gift right now, Larry, because our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. We have $4,500 this hour. We've got a couple hundred dollars on the table that's been taken so far, but the rest of it, $4,200, is still up for grabs. You can get your gift doubled right now. Make a difference. Make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR goes twice as far.
Absolutely. And you can support the programs you value and ask for your WPR stainless steel water bottle. Ask for yours with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And it's a super handsome water bottle, Larry. People can see it online when they go to WPR.org to make their pledge. It's lovely. We heard from Pam in Smithfield, North Carolina, Larry. You have listeners all over the country who says Larry's diverse garden, nature, and finance topics are very comforting in these chaotic times. Absolutely, Pam. Thanks for your comment. And Karen in Washburn says, I love the show you did on snowy owls. You have so many fans, Larry, so many fans.
Well, I want to say a special thanks to Pam and Karen, but also a thanks to you. If you've already contributed, that'd be just great. But if you haven't, your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Cheryl, come back and talk with us again, will you?
Will do.
All right. PJ Leach, though, has joined us. It's always good to be able to talk with PJ. How are you doing today, bud?
Good. Thanks for having me back on, Larry.
That's great to have you back. And one of the things I wanted to talk about today was pantry pests. What kinds of insects are we likely to find in our pantry, and kind of what do they look like?
Well, there's really a pretty long list of insects that can get into food items in the pantry. One of the commonest that folks might think of right away is a creature called the Indian meal moth, which is a type of small moth, although there's a handful of other moth species that can get into food items. And then really there's a bunch of different types of beetles, and a lot of these are pretty small, about an eighth of an inch long and brownish in color, so you have to get them under magnification to tell them apart. But there's dozens and dozens of different types of beetles. Some of these are more obscure, but some can be quite common, like sawtooth and merchant grain beetle and some of the flower beetles. And there's some weevils in that group as well. So there's really a pretty long list of insects that can get into human and pet food items.
Where do they come from? That's a question that a lot of people ask. You know, how the heck did they get in here?
Yeah, so it is a good question and a really interesting topic. If you think about world trade and global trade, the insects that can get into food items have really been moved around the globe with movement of commodities and things like that. But looking at a smaller scale in your own kitchen, you might be wondering, how did they get into the food items? Well, a couple of things could be going on. In some cases, you might have purchased an item that had the insects already in there. And I see that very commonly with food items bought in like a bulk bin situation where you're getting whole oats or whole wheat or barley or something like that. And they may already be in there. You bring the food home and you notice a couple weeks later there's insects, you know, crawling out of the bag or container that you had it in. In other cases, though, these insects can sometimes sneak their way into packages through just a teeny tiny little opening where maybe the plastic cellophane package didn't seal completely snug. In some cases, some of these insects can actually chew through thin material. So they might be able to chew through a thin plastic bag, Sometimes they might be able to chew through a thin kind of cardstock pasta box, for example, to get in there. But once these insects get into a container with food, they're really in a nice protected environment. And if it's a food item that sits around for a long period of time and is maybe at the back corner of your pantry, all of a sudden you take it out and there can be dozens or hundreds of insects in some situations.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And there oftentimes there's so many of them. I mean, a lot of them show up at once, seemingly.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. If they have ideal conditions, it's nice and warm, they're protected, many of these species can go through a life cycle, go from egg to adult, in the matter of maybe a month and a half to two-ish months. And so if you just let them sit there, they can go through generation after generation and really build up their numbers.
P.J. Leash, our guest today. Questions for him, give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. So what do we do if we have an infestation? How do you get rid of them?
So the single most important thing to do is to do some detective work. And what I mean by that, Larry, is you have to sort through your pantry and cupboards and things like that. Look for the item or items that are infested with these insects. And in most situations, the simplest remedy is going to be to take that infested item and chuck it out. That's, you know, very simple to do, especially if it's maybe an older stale box of crackers or something like that. And it often is the items that have been sitting around for longer periods of time. So simply cleaning things up well and getting rid of infested items, those are some of the simplest things to do. Some other advice, if you keep food items in containers that seal up really well, so a good Tupperware, big mason jars and things like that. If those items are free of insects, insects aren't going to be able to get in there to begin with. So those foods are going to be protected. So, a Ziploc bag is going to be a little bit more vulnerable than a really snugly sealing mason jar, something along those lines. Other things to do if you do find these in your kitchen cupboards, once you clean up those items, do a thorough cleaning. So vacuum out the nooks and crannies because little bits of food might have spilled down into those tucked away spots. And so vacuuming with that hose attachment can help get them out of there. A few other considerations. If the insects are in items that aren't necessarily food items, maybe something like pet treats, if your dog or cat won't really care about the insects too much, you could take those and take the bag of pet treats or pet food and stick it in a freezer. If it's a good cold freezer, maybe do it for about 4 or 5 days. If you're not sure how cold your freezer is, I usually suggest putting it in there for about 2 weeks because the cold temperatures will be lethal to these insects. In the opposite direction, you could also use heat. Insects die somewhere in the ballpark of about 115 degrees. So if you were to take those pet treats and put them spread out on a pan in the oven at a low temperature, maybe about 130 degrees for about half an hour or so, that would also kill the insects that are in there. So there's a number of different things that we can do to deal with these types of pests.
P.J. Leash, our guest today from the UW-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab. Join in with your questions at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I see we already have at least one email up, and looking forward to talking about Megan's question. But first, we're in our public radio winter member drive, and Cheryl Gasser joining us again. Your gift right now is so important. That it's gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for our programs. You keep the Larry Mueller Show and all the programs you enjoy going strong. So invest in your future listening right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, we're making good progress on our dollar for dollar match. We still have $3,500 on the table out of that initial $4,500. So it is a great time to give because current members, including a member in Madison, will double every dollar you give. So you give $100, it's like giving $200. You give $10 a month, it's like giving $20 a month. This is their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio and The Larry Mueller Show. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Cheryl, every member drive, we have listeners from all over the country and even around the world reach out to support WPR. It's really cool. We have people in Texas, Alaska, Japan, Germany, Mexico, I know for sure. They tell us they found something special here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Larry, your show is so special. The Ideas Network is one of a kind. And it's your support, dear listener, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 that makes Wisconsin Public Radio what it is, a source that you enjoy and rely on, and that one that people around the world and the state treasure. Make it happen.
Make it happen right now. Make an ongoing gift, maybe. $15 or $20 a month or whatever amount's right for you. You can set that up on your credit or your debit card or better yet, right from your bank account. It's what we call a sustaining gift. And the beauty of it is that you don't have to remember to renew your support every year.
That sure helps me, Larry. And your support this hour as a sustainer will be doubled. Your support will be as consistent as your WPR listening month after month, year after year. And take advantage of this dollar for dollar match this hour with your gift of any amount. Become a sustainer right now. Set up an ongoing monthly gift. Get your pledge doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The new WPR water bottle is perfect for staying hydrated throughout the day. At home, running errands, hiking.
I think I would station my WPR water bottle somewhere nearby where I could see it, where it could be inspirational to keep me going through my at-home workout.
It's a great thing for you to take out on a day when you need to keep hydrated.
I would love to add the WPR water bottle to my water bottle collection because I have a really bad habit of leaving my water bottles everywhere I go, so I'm always looking to add a new one.
Ask for your new WPR water bottle when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser. You don't want to leave that water bottle. This one is really a nice one. And
you want to hang on to this one, Larry.
Yeah, you want to hang on to it. Oh, boy. Listener support, it's the biggest source of funding for our shows, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support during our drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. And we have that dollar for dollar match, don't we?
Yes, we have a dollar for dollar match in effect right now. Don't delay. It's from current members, including a member in Madison, up to $4,500 for the hour. And we're about at the $1,000 mark, so still plenty of time for you to get your gift in. And when you give a gift of $50, it turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. If you give $15 a month, it turns into $30 a month. If you give $20 a month, you can get the water bottle and get your pledge doubled and support the Larry Mueller Show. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and the Larry Mueller Show right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've kind of done your part, but it's our continued support that keeps WPR going, I want to tell you.
Absolutely. You know, if it's been a while since you donated, thank you so much for that previous donation. But now is a perfect time to renew. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we will be so glad to have you back in the fold.
Our dollar for dollar match, as we have been saying, it's still in effect. We still have, $3,500 to go. So then just you could contribute $3,500 now and it'd turn into $7,000. You're not probably going to do that, but you might want to contribute $20 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount, and it's going to be doubled. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
Larry, now $3,100 left in that challenge. So still room for you. You can show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio, get your pledge doubled this hour, and ask for the new WPR water bottle with the WPR logo front and center. It's a handsome dark blue. You'll show off your support with every sip you take, and it's yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we mentioned sustaining members a couple of times. If you're a sustaining member, ongoing monthly gifts, we certainly want to thank you again for that. But maybe you could make today the day you increase your support of WPR. Might add $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose. You could do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, maybe you're giving $15 a month right now and you really want that water bottle for $20 a month and you want to take part in that dollar for dollar match. Go ahead, increase your gift by $5 a month, get to that $20 level, and then you can get the water bottle, support the Larry Mueller Show, have your pledge doubled. So many great reasons to pledge right now this hour, like Beth in Duluth, who says, Larry is exactly what I want and need as a welcome break from today's stressful news. Absolutely, Beth. And Kathy in Grays Lake says, I'm giving my support to my favorites, Larry Mueller and Classics by Request. That's right. We've got music. We've got conversation. We've got news. On the Ideas Network, you can support it all right now with your gift.
Your gift right now is so important. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. Taking a look at the world of insects today with PJ Leisht. We started by talking about pantry pests, and you know, maybe once in a while we get a pantry pest in our electronics and things don't work exactly the way we want them to. But you know what? We get through it. We're having a lot of fun, and I'm glad that you're listening in. And say, if you want to join in, maybe you've got an insect question. I hope you will join us. The number to call is 800-642-1234. And you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Some good email questions here for you, PJ. Megan emailed that she has a hemp farm in Sauk County, and she's a former student of mine. Megan, thanks for emailing. She wants to know, what can she do to combat hemp borer?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting topic, Larry. And overall, hemp itself in Wisconsin and around the country, it's a relatively new crop because it hadn't been grown for quite a while. So it's been interesting these last few years. As it's been grown here in Wisconsin, it's been a learning process for all of us. So myself and colleagues like Brian Jensen and Russ Groves, we have been kind of having our feelers out, so to speak, to simply learn what are the insects that we can see in hemp and to come up with some general idea of how we can manage them. At this point, we don't have any established thresholds for things like hemp borer. So what I mean by that is for other crops, we know if you have insects at a certain number of, certain number of insects per plant, we know where the farmer is going to have economic losses. We don't have those thresholds for hemp. So we don't know at this point if treating for those pests actually makes a difference in terms of yield. One thing I've noticed with hemp borer, because we can get multiple generations per year, when I see it earlier in the season, it tends to attack just the stem and you get these swollen portions of the stem. But in most situations, the plant seems to do okay with that for the most part. What concerns me more is later on in the growth of the hemp plant, as the floral structures, those buds start to emerge, the insect later on in the year can attack those directly. But as I mentioned, we don't have a good feel for what needs to be done at what point to really help cut losses, but also make economic sense too, because if you're spending a lot more than what you get out of the crop, it just doesn't make sense like that. So we don't have a good feel for that. There are some oil-type products and some other things. Wisconsin Department of Ag or DATCAP has a list of pesticides that are currently registered for use on hemp in Wisconsin. So I'd encourage the listener to search for that and see what is listed out there. They could also shoot me an email, and we can kind of strategize some more in terms of what they're seeing and when and what might be a good option.
And people can always contact you through the, if they just type in UW-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab, they can get your email and all that right from there, can't they?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, if you search for UW or UW-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab, you should be able to find my website right away.
Cheryl in Superior emailed to ask if there's anything new in prevention or organic treatment of the spotted wing Drosophila.
Yeah, so not much new at this point for organic treatments for spotted wing Drosophila. A couple of things come to mind. In theory, if the plants were covered with a very fine mesh netting, that may help prevent the insects from getting to it. But you also have to keep in mind that mesh netting is going to make it hard for bees and other pollinators to get in there. So that doesn't work very well. It has its limitations. If you had raspberries where the fruit has set and it's starting to develop, that might be feasible. But again, it would have to be a small patch to do that. Some of the other options that are out there, regular hand picking can be rather helpful because we know if you just leave the berries on the plants, they start getting mushy. Sometimes the berries get mushy enough, they'll fall off the plants and land on the ground, and the larvae can still develop in those and complete their development, and then they'll emerge as adults and simply fly up to the new fruit directly above them. So going out there on essentially a daily basis, picking the berries, taking those berries if they're good and you want to eat them, and either eating them right away or taking them and pretty quickly putting them in a chilled environment, a refrigerator. If there were any insects in there, that's going to slow down and arrest their development and prevent future damage. And good sanitation can be helpful as well. So if you do have those berries that have gotten pretty soft or have fallen off the plant, being diligent about cleaning those up can be really helpful too. Otherwise, for organic type treatments, there are some sprays out there, things like pyrethrins, for example. There's been some work with spinosad as well, which goes by the name of Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Those are the two things that come to mind right away. Caveats with those products, though, when you use them, they only form a protective coating on fruits that have been sprayed, and those products tend to break down fairly quickly. So you have to read the product label, follow those instructions. It'll tell you how often you need to spray them to maximize your protection. You'd also have to read those labels and see what it tells you in terms of how long you have to wait before you can harvest. In some cases, it might say you have to wait 4 or 6 hours or wait overnight before you can harvest the fruits.
Makes sense. Okay. Brian in Galesville, we'll go to you now. Hi, Brian. Brian, are you there? Maybe we lost Brian.
There.
Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm the guy that listens to you from Western Wisconsin, Larry. Listen, I've grown tomatoes for years. I have real good luck with them. I grow them in containers. And one year, about 4 years ago, I came home after a couple days being gone, and my plants were just devastated. The leaves were almost all gone. And I found underneath a few of the leaves that were left, tomato hornworms. I looked them up in the books I got, and I looked them up on the internet, but none of the places tell you where do they come from. So that's what I'd like to know. Were they in the soil? Do they fly in from someplace? That's what I want to get answered.
Yeah, Brian, well, that's a good question. PJ, what do you think?
Yeah, so for species like tomato hornworm and tobacco hornworm, which are very closely related, those will go through their pupal stage, kind of that cocoon stage, if you will. They do that in the soil. And so they could have been in the soil in a nearby area, and then they emerge. You get the adult moths, which are going to be active at night, go to plants to lay eggs, and then those eggs are going to hatch. We'll get our caterpillar stage. The larvae, although with their coloration, they can often blend in really well, which can make it hard to spot them until they get really large and damaging. And by that point, they can really eat a lot of leaf material. So as a caller mentioned, you leave for a couple of days, for a long weekend or something like that, and you come back and they've, you know, stripped all the leaves off a tomato or a pepper plant or something like that. So in terms of the source, they're almost certainly in the local area nearby, and the adult moths would have just flown in to lay eggs on those plants.
Thanks, Brian, for calling. Kelly in Denmark, your turn. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. We always have raised monarch butterflies. And the last couple of years when we've done it, the chrysalises basically look like they're rotting after a while. They turn black, and then actually opened them up and found larvae inside. And our patch of milkweed out front, the same thing happens where we find black chrysalises all over our house. And what I've looked at is I think that they're bot flies or some sort of fly. Is there any way to get rid of those without harming other insects?
Yeah, so that's a tough situation. And one thing I like to remind folks of when I hear of cases like this is if you look at the statistics for monarchs in terms of survival from the egg stage to making it to a mature reproductive adult monarch butterfly, it's extremely high mortality. Very few make it. It's under 10% that make it to that adult stage. So lots of things end up killing monarchs along the way. This could be predators. This can be, in a case like this, parasites are really, we would refer to them as parasitoids. A parasite doesn't kill its host. A parasitoid does kill its host. And there are some small wasps that do this. There are also some flies from the family Tachinidae that can attack and parasitize and kill monarchs. So sounds like you have bumped into some of those. There are also some disease pathogens out there that can pop up and cause some somewhat similar symptoms, darkening of the chrysalises and things like that. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot that you can do about those, especially for monarchs that are developing on plants outdoors. This is just kind of how nature goes with these things. The parasitoids get to them sometimes if you have a population in the area. And there's not any good way that I'm aware of in terms of spraying anything like that to deter those parasitic species. Some things you could potentially consider would be using physical barriers. Basically, if you have a way to prevent those parasitic insects from getting to the caterpillars, that may help them out. So you could use like a very fine mesh bag placed over a leaf and kind of secured with like a twist tie or rubber band or something like that, or a bag clip to hold it on there. That will put a physical barrier between the caterpillar and the outside world to help minimize that a little bit. But beyond using physical barriers like that, I'm not aware of any good ways to really deter those parasitic species.
And thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. PJ Leash, our guest today, and Cheryl Gasser joining back in. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this regular insect show with PJ Leash. Your support makes that happen, because listener support is actually the largest source of funding for our program. So give right now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, that's right. Any amount does make a difference, and every amount will be doubled during this dollar-for-dollar match. We have $1,500 left on the table. This match is in effect this hour only. It is such a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Madison, will double every dollar you give. So it's a great time to become a member or to increase your current gift. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I always enjoy having PJ Leash come on the show. He gives such great information on how to deal with all of the various insects, not only the ones you find in your home, but the ones that are out on the lawn and in the garden. And we've had some examples of that already on this show. And I'm wondering, how's your life been enriched by it? How is this program? Maybe it's unique to public radio. We are listener supported.
Yeah. You are unique, Larry. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's hopefully in a good way.
But, yes.
I'm hoping that anyway. And I hope you hope that too. And I hope you feel that way. And I hope you'll contribute during the show here at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You make this program and many more programs possible. So go ahead and choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and then make your gift.
And it will be doubled this hour during this dollar-for-dollar match. Now, if you think about it, it is so easy, so very easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine, things you enjoy, like a cup of coffee or your favorite snack.
Think about the news, the information, and the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. And maybe a dollar a day, 30 bucks a month, or maybe that's the right amount. So whatever the right amount is, it's a good time to do it right now. Sign up now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and support the programs that you enjoy every day.
I'm Sheree from Waupun.
I felt so guilty. I felt like a freeloader for years. I have to say, I just became a member in this past year, and it was a sustaining member, and I want to make sure it fell on a time where I knew I was going to always have it, and I plan on putting you in my will. Even if it's only like a $500 gift, I plan on leaving my mark here. I want to make sure that this continues. I do. This is very important to me.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Oh, that was a great comment, wasn't it? Oh,
Sheree, go to, thank you.
Yeah, inspired me. Maybe I'll give again here. I usually talk myself into giving extra gifts on every
You do, Larry. You're a generous guy.
Well, what about you as you're listening into this? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser. Your support makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And the gift could be 10 or 20 bucks a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And it's your support of the things that make your life more meaningful, that really have an impact for you. Now, Wisconsin Public Radio, the Ideas Network, the Larry Mueller Show, it's one of those things. It's three of those things. You know, I think of how often you tune in to Larry and how your week would be different if you weren't able to catch him on a given day. That means he's part of your routine and he's a good habit to have. Because here at WPR, you get information about the events in our region and around the nation. You get information on gardening and home repair. You get food. There's so much that Larry brings to you, and we want to keep it coming.
You want a lot of news and information in the coming year, I'm pretty sure, and your support now will make that possible as well. Make a difference right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your gift on the with the amount that's right for you.
And this dollar-for-dollar match, Larry, still in effect, are taking us up on it. We've got just $1,200 left to go in the next 15 minutes. So if you want to make a gift, you've been meaning to make a gift, you want to get your gift doubled, now is the time to do it. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of Wisconsin Public Radio goes twice as far.
You can support the programs you value and ask for your WPR stainless steel water bottle. It's yours for a gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We heard from Maury in Sister Bay, who says, we've been giving since we graduated from college in 1973. Wow, Maury, thank you so much for that ongoing support. That is wonderful. And Aaron in Madison says, I've decided to become a sustainer because it really streamlines the giving process. Absolutely, Aaron. So many good reasons to give.
Your gift right now, very important. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. Taking a look at the world of insects today with P.J. Leash from the UW-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab. Larry Mueller here. Why, right to the phones, because lots of callers online. And Terry and Rhinelander, we'll give you a chance to join in now. Terry, thanks for calling.
Good morning. When I turn my heat on in the fall, I have electric heat. It seems to bring out fruit flies. I'm wondering how I can get rid of them.
Huh. Fruit flies coming out of the registers, PJ.
Well, that's a really interesting situation, and my first thought in a case like this is I'd really want to make sure that they are indeed fruit flies, because there may be other possibilities. The common fruit flies that you and I will see around the kitchen sink and stuff like that, although they have the word fruit in their name, perhaps a better name for them would be vinegar flies. And really, they're associated with overripe or decaying fruits and vegetables and things like that, but damp organic materials in general. However, indoors, there are a number of other small flies, borid flies and lesser dung flies and a whole bunch of other ones that will sometimes show up indoors as well. And to the naked eye, they're going to be about the same size as fruit flies, but they have a different story associated with them and potentially different sources. Sometimes they could be associated with a dead rodent somewhere or something else going on in the house, such as damp conditions. So this is a case where I'd really encourage the caller to, with the small size of flies, probably collect some of these and put them in a little Tupperware container or an empty pill vial or something like that, and you can then mail them into the Insect Diagnostic Lab here at UW-Madison. That way I can get them under the microscope, and once we know exactly what they are, then we can get a much better idea of how to most effectively manage them. But if we don't know for sure if they're fruit flies or something else, it's hard to pinpoint the best things to do.
So should Terry grab some of them and put them in an envelope and send them to you, or what?
Yeah, that would be really helpful in this case. But make sure, don't just put them in an envelope, because they're going to get squished in the mail. They need to be inside of some little protective container. So could be an empty pill vial, a small Tupperware. I've seen some real creative things, folks using padded mailing envelopes or small mason jars, anything like that, and then mail it in. And my mailing address for the diagnostic lab is 1630 Linden Drive, L-I-N-D-E-N, just like a linden tree. So 1630 Linden Drive, room 240, and that's Madison, Wisconsin, and the zip code is 53706. And if you either put my name, PJ Leash, or Insect Diagnostic Lab is at the top of the address, it'll get to me. But that's what I'd really encourage the caller to do in this case, Larry, is send some in so we can figure out exactly what they are, because that's going to inform us on what the source may be and what we can most effectively do about it.
So 1630 Linden Drive, room 240, Madison, 53706. There we go.
Yes.
And the address is probably on the UW-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab website, too, in case you didn't get it written down, Terry. You can find it there for sure. And thanks for calling. Sean in Madison, your turn. Hi, Sean.
Hi. We live in a house that has a lot of wood, and we've always gotten stink bugs when the weather gets colder, but they seem to be even worse this year. And we have small children and pets, and so we don't really want to use any pesticides if possible, but just wondering if there's any ideas on how to get rid of them.
Sure. So in the grand scheme of things, there's not going to be a way to get rid of these entirely. And what we're really dealing with in this situation, it's a fairly new species to our area called the brown marmorated stink bug. And it's really an invasive species. It comes from Eastern Asia. It showed up in Wisconsin about a decade ago. The thing is, when it gets to an area, it's often really quiet for about 5 years or so. So when it first got here, Madison was one of the first spots in the state we saw it. It was about 5 years before we started getting increasing numbers of reports. Prior to that, it would be a sighting here, a sighting there, once or twice a year. But then the floodgates kind of opened. So for the last 3, 4, 5 years in Madison, I get lots and lots of reports of these. Now, the story with these is they're really plant feeders outdoors during the warm months. So they'll feed on fruits and vegetables and sometimes trees and shrubs and things like that. But then, just like Asian lady beetles in fall, they like to sneak indoors. So if you're looking for an entirely non-chemical approach, the best thing to do is to examine the outside of your structure. Now, it's cold today, so you can put this off for a while, but sometime next summer or certainly before next fall when they're trying to sneak back in, look at the outside of your home and look for any cracks or crevices that they could sneak in through. Now, keep in mind, these don't have to be very big cracks or crevices, about a 3/16 of an inch, just under a quarter inch. They can get in through anything that size or bigger. So if you find things like that, you could go around with a caulk gun or steel wool or something else to kind of stuff in the cracks and fill it in. You could use some of that expanding insulation foam that comes in a can, the polyurethane stuff that you spray in, and then it balloons up to fill up those nooks and crannies. Anything we can do like that to basically seal things up, that's going to help. I would focus my attention around windows and door frames where we have edges on a house. So where the soffit meets the overhang or the wall, those areas, I often see them associated with chimneys. So make sure your chimney flashing is in good shape. In theory, if your house is sealed up really well, they won't be able to get in. So that's the,
most best
effective,
way.
Yep, non-chemical approach to do that.
All right. Sean, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, we're getting up to the top of the hour, and we are in our WPR winter member drive. Cheryl Gasser's come back for a couple of minutes. Your gift makes a huge difference because you are the largest source of funding for our program. So step up, be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, we have some celebrating to do this hour. We have met and actually exceeded our dollar-for-dollar match that was a challenge from current members of Wisconsin Public Radio, including a member in Madison. Thank you to all of them. Thank you to the 31 members who called in or made a gift online this hour. But you know what? We've met the challenge. We've exceeded it. Let's keep going. Still a few minutes in this hour. Make your gift, become a member, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I want to go back to talking about PJ for just a second, because the information he gives us every time he's on is very similar in a way to the information we get from other guests of this program. They provide a lot of practical, good information that you can use in your daily living. And I hope your life is enriched by it. I'm pretty sure we're unique to Wisconsin for public radio. And we are listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, you make this show and the many more shows possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a minute or two and make your gift.
Get your WPR water bottle if you'd like to show your WPR pride when you're out and about. The stainless steel water bottle is perfect for everyday use or on your next outdoor adventure or when you're working in the garden. Support the programs you value and show off your love for WPR. It starts with a gift of $20 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won art that was honestly a little creepy.
1976 MGB. That hasn't run in 20 years. I regret it, and I see it every day in my garage, and I regret it even more.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I bought an old boat once that I've I wish I'd never bought at an auction. Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, I hope you didn't buy an old boat, and I hope you have time to still make your contribution. You do, you know. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution. Larry Mueller with Cheryl Gasser, your support, whether it's $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate it. We count on it.
We really do count on you. We could not make this show possible without your support. You can be part of the Larry Mueller Show with your gift. You can be part of the Larry Mueller team on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Make a gift of any amount. Increase your gift if you are already giving, and it's been a while since you have increased your support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're going to take a quick look at the news, and PJ Leash will be back with us to take more of your questions. I see we've got Hannah and Tracy online here, and you'll be able to ask your questions too. But in the meantime, maybe make a contribution right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller with Cheryl Gasser for the Ideas Network, and thank you so much for listening and contributing. Have a question or a comment about insects? We'd love to hear from you today. Larry Mueller here with my guest, PJ Leash. He's no stranger to our program. He's the manager of the UW-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab. Hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. Maybe you've seen an unusual bug. What questions do you have? 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. PJ, we have Tracy on board from Gutenberg, Iowa. Tracy, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I have a two-part question. Last year, I had a pretty serious infestation of clothes moths in my house, and I have a number of taxidermy mounts, and they started to attack one of them. So I treated the mounts with an insecticide and put out pheromone traps off Amazon, and I caught several hundred of the moths in the traps. Now, I have not seen any moths for the last several weeks, so I'm wondering, can I assume that they're gone since I have not seen any? And if so, how do I prevent them from returning at some point in the future?
PJ, what do you think?
Well, so clothing moths in general can be common indoors, and they do feed on certain types of fabric, such as wool and silk and things like that, but they will feed on fur as well. So it doesn't surprise me to hear about the case. I do hear of taxiderm mounts every once in a while bumping into issues with these particular insects. Now, it sounds like you've definitely taken some steps to remedy the issue, so hopefully that took care of things. One thing I'd be a little nervous about, though, because we've had some colder temperatures recently, and if that allowed things to cool down a little bit, especially if you have mounts on exterior walls of homes, if there were any insects present, they might have just slowed down enough so they weren't very active. So the fact that you haven't seen any in the last couple of weeks
certainly is a good sign, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're out of the woods. So I would continue to use the pheromone traps. That's a good way to monitor for them. One helpful thing that I like to think of with pheromone traps in general is swapping them out over time, because that allows us to pick out trends. So if you know that for this two-week period or this month period you found 50, and during the next time check you found 5, you know, that tells us we're heading in the right direction. So replacing those pheromone traps over time can be really helpful to pick out those trends. I would also suggest, if it hasn't been done already, just some detective work in the general area. Sometimes there can be alternative food sources around. If there are pets in the home, for example, pet hair that got forced under the baseboard at the edge of carpeting and stuff like that can be alternative food sources. So if that situation applies, I would suggest doing some really thorough vacuuming, especially with the hose attachment cleaner, to go around and really thoroughly vacuum around the house. For the taxiderm mounts themselves, I'd keep a close eye on it to see if there's any additional damage. You could do some physical controls like vacuuming the taxiderm mounts. I would physically remove insects from it. Some other considerations that might be possibilities, it would really depend on the size of the taxiderm mount, but we could use cold temperatures to kill insects like this. If the mount were small enough or you had a big enough chest freezer, something like that, you could put it in a big chest freezer and let it freeze for about 2 weeks or so, and that would kill any of the insects that are on there. So there's a couple things that can hopefully help you out in this situation.
And Tracy, thank you so much for calling. Let's turn to Vicki in Mount Horeb. Hi, Vicki.
Hello. I have an indoor plant, although I do put it out in the summer and bring it in the fall. It's an ivy. I'm assuming an English ivy, but it has these very fine spidery web things that have little tiny brown, look like seeds. I'm assuming they're eggs on the plant. And the leaves are starting, some parts are looking a little mottled. I wipe them off, and then I cut out some of the branches where it's the worst. What might that be? And, you know, how can I make sure it isn't an insect that's going to start hatching and flying around? I have not seen anything like that at this point.
Hmm. PJ?
Yeah, so based on the description, to me it sounds like a classic case of spider mites. And spider mites aren't insects, they're close relatives, but they make very fine, delicate webbing if their populations are high. The caller had also mentions you started seeing this mottled appearance, and that's classic for spider mite damage. Often the foliage on plants will start having kind of a sandpapery appearance, where instead of green, you get some mottled areas that are pale, yellowish, or something like that. Some of the things that could be done in a case like this, some of that selective pruning may help. Spider mites also thrive under hot, dry conditions, so you might be able to potentially modify the microenvironment in that area. Maybe keeping things a little bit more humid, for example, could help out. Some of the more direct approaches you can take, one of the simplest options would be to use an insecticidal soap or a horticultural oil like neem oil. And you can get these at most hardware garden stores or order them online these days. You have to apply them very thoroughly to the plants, and they work for a very short period of time. So the insecticidal soaps, for example, once they dry, they're basically done working at that point. So you have to be thorough spraying these, the upper surfaces, the under surfaces of leaves. You may have to do this multiple times. So I usually suggest to treat, monitor and check how things are going a few days later. If you look very closely or use a magnifier, the tiny mites, you'd actually see them moving around. They never fly. They don't have wings, but they can crawl around, and they're often present on undersides of leaves. So I would take a close look at that. And as I just said, you might have to do this multiple times because sometimes the eggs won't be affected. So spray, scout, reassess, and keep doing that, and hopefully that takes care of the problem.
And thanks a lot for calling, Vicki. You know, a listener called in to ask if you charge, PJ, for your ID services, and if so, how much do you charge?
So the services at the Insect Diagnostic Lab are free for Wisconsin residents. So each year I get about 2,500 samples from around the state. This could be coming in from the general public. It could be from farmers or crop consultants or folks working for lawn or tree care companies. So it's a free service out there for really anyone in Wisconsin. And I know you mentioned my website earlier, Larry, but if anyone wants additional details, just do an internet search for UW Insect Diagnostic Lab, and you'll find all the information there about the lab.
Yeah. Susan emailed to ask if she finds insects in flour or cake mix, or maybe the Bisquick, like she did, and didn't notice. Is it harmful to eat them? We wind up eating a lot of insects anyway, don't we?
Yeah, I was going to say, in short, no, they're not harmful to us. And to be honest, we have all eaten them, whether we realize it or not. You know, back in the old days, folks would use things like a flour sifter to not only take lumps out of flour, but also could be used to remove insects, for example. From a nutritional standpoint, the insects that would be in there would be perhaps a little bit of extra protein, but no concerns for human health.
All right, there we go. Another listener called to ask what she should do about cucumber beetles this spring.
Yeah, so cucumber beetles can be a really common garden pest. And my main thought about those is when you first start seeing them, so when your cucumbers and related plants like squash and pumpkins, things like that, are starting to pop out, keep a close eye on them because it's much easier to stay on top of things early on rather than allowing their numbers to build up and really become problematic. Depending on what type of production you're doing, if it's organic versus, might use conventional products in your home garden, there are a number of sprays that can be used for organic options. We have things like pyrethrins, but those break down pretty quickly, so you may have to apply multiple times depending on what their numbers are doing. If you go with one of the more conventional garden products, that can usually protect plant foliage for about a week or two at a time.
We got some great photos. Owen and Cornucopia sent us pictures of three silkwood moths. And that Cecropia, it's the biggest in North America, he thinks. However, there's even a larger moth in Asia called the Atticus Atlas moth?
Yeah, so that one's commonly just known as the Atlas moth, and that's one of the largest Lepidoptera on the planet. Lepidoptera is the group of the moths and butterflies. They can have a wingspan of about 9 to 10 inches. I've seen preserved specimens of these beautiful insects with massive wings. They look like a Cecropia moth on steroids. They're about double or triple the size of those in terms of their wing area. I will also mention closer to us, though, because the Atlas moth is from Southeast Asia, places like Mexico and Central and parts of South America, there's a moth called the White Witch, which can have a wingspan of about 10 inches or so. So there definitely are some big moths out there. Our giant silk moths, the Cecropia polyphemus luna, they usually have wingspans of about 4 to 5 inches or so. Some might get upwards of that 6-inch mark, but definitely some of our biggest insects in Wisconsin and the Midwest.
Yeah. Any other kind of bugs, as we think about this, that we're likely to see in the wintertime inside?
Well, in general, things are fairly slow at the diagnostic lab at the moment. However, I do continue to get a trickle of insects that I would refer to as firewood pests. And these are insects that normally overwinter under the loose bark of dead trees and things like that, or decaying wood. But if that tree is cut down and chopped into firewood, if that wood is brought in and isn't used up right away, the insects warm up. They think it's springtime. They're ready to come out and party. And so you can get some really cool-looking beetles, some of the longhorn beetles. You can get carpenter ants and other things that originate from that firewood this time of the year. They're not going to harm anything indoors, but they're a nuisance. So that's something very common I've been getting at the moment, in addition to the pantry pests.
and just a few other things. When we warm up a bit, I'm expecting lots of reports of Asian lady beetles and the brown marmorated stink bug we heard about earlier. Those are still in homes. They've hunkered down for the winter, and as things warm up, they're going to become active as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen any in my home this winter. I had one last winter, and on the third floor. Of course, I was in my daughter's bedroom, and so I had to go and eliminate it for her. But I'm sure they're all there. PJ, it's always such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. PJ Leisch, of course, is the director of the UW-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab. And as he says, he gets thousands of correspondences, emails or what, or in the mail from people with their insect issues. So it's always fun to talk with him. Fun to talk with Cheryl Gasser, too, who comes by every so often. And she's with me now as we talk about the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift, any amount that makes these talks possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for our programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so, so, so important.
Larry,
and we did
last
really
hour.
Well last, we did really so well last well. Hour.
So well, Larry, pardon me, we heard from, I'm speechless. We heard from 44 members to Wisconsin Public Radio. We met, we exceeded our dollar for dollar challenge. Thanks to everyone who gave, thanks to the current members who put up that challenge. But now it's another hour and another goal. Our goal now is to get 20 gifts by 1 o'clock this afternoon. And this goal is set up to make sure that we'll be in a good position to pay for the Larry Mueller Show in the months to come.
And let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time, of course. And let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
On the Larry Mueller Show, we cover topics like environmental and consumer issues, gardening, how-to topics. We put Wisconsin first, from authors and books to food and history and sports. You get so much great advice on topics that impact your life, practical advice that impact your life, your community, probably save you money because you can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's all possible because of your financial support. Support this program and everything else you enjoy here on the Ideas Network with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you might have been thinking to yourself, boy, I wish I had one of those Wisconsin Public Radio stainless steel water bottles. My life would be complete if I had that bottle. Well, I tell you what, your support for the programs you love will be on full display with every sip when you get your bottle. And how do you get your bottle? It starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And, you know, for me, it is really a nice bottle. Stainless steel, you're not going to have to worry about the plastic or anything. And hey, $20 a month or more, and it's yours.
It is a handsome bottle, Larry. And when you go to WPR.org to make your pledge, you can check out the water bottle and any other thank you gift that you might be interested in. There's so many great reasons to give to Wisconsin Public Radio. And one of them is that the beauty of contributing to WPR is that it's always accessible and always a great value for you and your community. You can't say that for everything that you spend your hard-earned money on.
You get to choose how much you pay for your listening, and you know that you'll tune in day after day, probably week after week, and a great return on your investment. So give now. I think it's worth it. I hope you do, too. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Because Larry helps get you through these cold Wisconsin winters, you can make a gift in support of the Larry Mueller Show. Now, maybe, you've never given to WPR before. That's okay. We love, love, love new members. And today, you can find out how it feels.
And it feels great because you'll be supporting something you love, something you use and rely on every day. And, of course, because the largest source of funding for WPR comes from listeners like you, you can know that your donation truly does make a difference. So make your first ever gift, maybe $100, maybe it's $10 a month, whatever amount that's right for you. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because it's one of the best mixes that I can find of both highly entertaining and highly useful and informative information. Wisconsin Public Radio really has a great variety in the type of programs they put on. It's very difficult to get bored of listening to WPR. I only used to listen to public radio in the car. I've recently started listening to public radio on online streaming. The variety and quality of the broadcasts are really enough to keep someone, you know, tuning back in for more time and time again. I'm Ben Martin from Minnesota, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for variety and entertainment.
Well, Ben, thank you very much. Why don't you join Ben? You can give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser. Listener support, the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support during our drive is so important. And maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Maybe it's $200 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
There is no wrong amount for your WPR membership. Now, we also know that you value your time, and we value it, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio, you know, Larry, you know this. I know this. It takes just a few minutes, whether you give online or make a phone call. We just need to know your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
I've done it many a time. It's really quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take the next couple of minutes and support the station you count on. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 20 pledges by 1 o'clock. We've already got 5 in the door, off to a great start. But how about you? Everyone, of course, should make the gift that works for them. And yours might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Yeah, maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like all the other things that are important to you. You can do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you already made a donation this year. Thank you so much. Maybe you're a sustaining member. Thank you so much. Consider making an extra gift today of, say, $50 or $100, whatever amount is right for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you can join in this member drive, and we'll thank you for your extra support of the programs that you enjoy every single day.
At WPR, you get to choose how much to give. A contribution of any amount makes a difference, and there are some suggested amounts. Take the same amount you pay for Netflix, maybe. That's about $10 a month, if I'm not mistaken. Or cable. That's probably
a lot
quite
more.
A bit more than, a lot more than $10 a month. Or coffee.
Or soda.
We look forward to those things every day. You can give now. You pick the amount. Your gift makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have just about 32 minutes left in the hour, and we are looking for 15 more members. We know we can meet this goal because it happens one gift at a time. So please make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Make the Larry Mueller Show possible when you give. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Cheryl and I are going to have to go away in just a few seconds. Just a couple of reminders for you. You can support the programs you value. You can get that WPR stainless steel water bottle. It's yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I really hope you'll just contribute because you like the great programming that we have here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We love what we do. And we certainly love that you join us as listeners. Thank you so much for that. And please, if you haven't contributed, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.